You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Worthy of the praise to my pastor, Pastor Charles Kwame. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity to stand in this place. As assistant pastor here at the Macedonia Baptist Church, I endeavor to try and help and lead you guys, all of us, through this process. Whatever I can do to be a support and a help, I'm here to do. We thank God for his church. We're going to take our text this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open to the 13th chapter of Hebrews. And we're going to read just one verse in your hearing. If you have it, say amen. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 8. And it reads, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And I'd like to tag this text with this title, A Changing World, But the Same God. A changing world, but the same God. All of us in here was in a different position last year than we are this year. All of us came into 2020 expecting great things. And I'm amazed at how we seem to think that just that by the passing of the click of the clock, that all of a sudden our circumstances and situations are going to change. We assume that just because we went from one year to the next year, that everything is going to be just fine, that we get a new start, we make new resolutions, new beginnings. But understand that this world is ever changing. It's always changing. Your circumstances, your situations are not going to be the same throughout 2021. There's going to be some changes that are going to happen. There's a song that was written by Bernard Lyner, and it was recorded by George Benson, a great guitarist, jazz guitarist. Listen to the lyrics. The lyrics go like this. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Listen to what he says. He says, the young become the old, with mysteries to unfold. Because that's the way of life. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. He goes on to write, James Cleveland changed it a little bit when he cleaned it up. He said, there are not many things in life you can be sure of, except that Jesus is my friend and he's coming back again. I sure do love the Lord. Everything is changing around us. Some of the changes that we experience are changes that are voluntary changes. In other words, we sign up for these changes. It has been determined that people will do a complete change every 7 years of their lives. We'll change hairstyles. We'll change jobs. We'll change our friends. We'll change our place of residence. We're always changing. Why? Because this world is always in a constant state of change. I know that most of us don't like change. Most of us don't want to deal with change because there's a degree of uncomfortableness that comes along with change. Because when our environment begins to change, that means that we need to change. When our situations change, then we need to change. I tell you, everything is changing. That question was asked, how often do people change? The answer is constantly. We're constantly changing. Why? Because the world in which we live, the universe in which we live, is constantly changing. Did you not know that there are over 400 million stars created each day? The Earth rotates on its axis at about 1,000 miles per hour, changing the environment, changing the atmosphere. It's always changing. But understand this, that there's one thing that's not changing. There's one thing that adds stability to this world, and that's Jesus Christ. Did you not know that every star, the new star that is born, Jesus can name it by name? Because he adds stability. As a matter of fact, he's the only stabilizing force in this world. He is the only thing that will not change. And that's good to know. Jesus has always been who he is. The writer of this text, the Hebrew text, writes, and he writes it for our help. It helps us because the church that he's writing to was a church that was under constant change. The change was not one that was voluntary. They had given their lives to Christ. But because of enormous persecution, tribulation, there were some that had thought about going back into Judaism. They wanted to go back to that old, familiar, comfortable place that they had that did not come with the persecution that this new faith in Christ brought. And you'll be amazed at the folk that want to go back to the old way of life every now and again. But understand this, that there's more with you than there is against you in Christ Jesus. You just got to learn how to lean upon him. Stop putting our trust in other things. Yes, this week, there will be a transference of power. There will be a new president. And I know what you said, anybody is better than Donald Trump. But even with getting Joe Biden, we still don't know what we're going to get. Because Joe Biden is a man just like I am. And he's prone to let you down. Just like any of us. Because everyone in here, everyone in this church, everyone under the listening voice, my voice, has been let down by somebody. You've put your faith, you put your trust, you've trusted somebody. And they have let you down. They have forsaken you. But this is the other side of the coin we need to look at. Everybody in this church, and even on live stream, has let somebody down. We've all done it. We're all guilty of it. We've made promises that we did not keep. We borrowed some money that we did not pay back. All of us have. We all stand guilty. But in this text, Jesus, the writer tells us that Jesus will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. He's writing this to the Hebrew. He's letting them know. And this is really kind of like dividing the wheat from the chaff. He's dividing those who have genuinely been saved by the power of Christ and those who just have a form of godliness. You see, because if there's anything that will tell on you, it's change. And how you react to change. How you deal with change. All of us came into 2020 expecting great things. But then March came. The pandemic came. And I have to admit to you that I was afraid. Fear gripped me. And here's the reason why. Because when I was experiencing my bout, I thought about, if I leave here, who will take care of my family? My kids still need me. Sister Minor just couldn't make it without me. She'd be crying all the way to the bank. And so there was a time that fear had gripped me. And I began to pray. I told you once before, I laid hands on myself. I began to pray for myself. I said, God, I need your healing. And listen here. By faith, I got up and I pressed through my fear. In other words, my faith looked like made faith look like it was not even there. It's normal to be fearful. But the problem is when you allow fear to stop you from doing what God has told you to do. So there's time that I had to move by faith and not by fear. I'm here today by faith and not by fear. Because I won't let fear stop me. Yeah, it shows up every now and again. But my faith is stronger than my fear. My trust in God is stronger than what I see. All of us going to be taken out by something. But I don't worry about that. Because there's a calling upon my life. Just like there's a calling upon your life. And that is to get the gospel out to this dying world. And we cannot do it locked behind our doors. Everything is changing. And so we come up to the end of 2020. I see a lot of folk talking, hear a lot of folk talking about, oh, I can't wait to get to 2021. And what happened? The clock changed, and all of that garbage, all of that baggage you brought from 2020 into 2021. You're always changing, but God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. This is what you need to get. The writer of Hebrews writes this for our understanding, that we might be able to understand it. Because according to us who are in time, there is a yesterday. There is a today. And we hope that there is a tomorrow. But with God, every day is today. Every day is today for God. There is no beginning with God, because why? He's before the beginning. There is no tomorrow, because he's further than tomorrow. He is God all by himself. He's God manifested in the flesh. He's God all by himself. He is the Word of God. And he does not change. He's steady. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withered and the flower fades. Listen here. But the word of our God shall live and stand forever. Stand forever. Doesn't matter. He's going to always be there. He promised us that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. John Gospel backs it up. John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This way he said that God was face to, Jesus was face to face with God, but yet and still he was still God all by himself. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and with him all things that and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That darkness is us. He came into our lives to give us light. He came into our life that we might be able to see clearly who he was and who he is and who he'll always be. He's always God. He's always the same. And that's good news. That's good news for all of us. This text actually reflects the deity of Jesus. It's important for us to see Jesus as being manifest, God manifested in the flesh. He is God all by himself, and he is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus has every right and authority of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Philippians puts it this way. He said in Philippians 2 and 6, he said, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Listen here, verse number 7, but made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, listen, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So God all by himself took on the form of flesh. And not only did he take on the form of flesh, but he became a servant, even the servant unto death. And even though he's God and deserves our worship and our praise, did not come for that. He came that he might give his life a ransom for us, that he might die upon the cross for us. None of us would be here. None of us would be in the situation and the state that we're in if Christ had not died for our sins. I tell you, you're in a pretty good position right now. Yes, Jesus is God all by himself. Colossians 2 and 8 and 9 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Listen here, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Christ is God all by himself. He don't need your help to be God. Doesn't need my help to be God. He's God all by himself. And he proves it by keeping this world together. All of us, all of this whole world is being held together by the word of God. It's by his word. It's because of his authority. The Old Testament prophets also speak of God in his unchanging, being immutable. Malachi 3 and 6 says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And that's a shouting moment right there, Reverend. Because of who he is, we've not been consumed. And we've not been consumed because God's awesome love towards us. All of us deserve to be consumed by the wrath of God. Every last one of the scriptures said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of us deserve to be dead in our trespasses and our sins. But it's because of what Christ did that we're not consumed. And understand that God is not like us. We're fickle. We can't seem to make up our mind one way or the other. We change constantly. You feel one way one minute, another way the next minute. That's just the way we've been programmed. That's because of our sin nature. All of us was born, were created in the likeness of God, but sin distorted us. Sin messed us up. Yeah, sometimes I wake up and I feel like, you know, this way, and the next day is totally different. I don't know. It's something that I guess we can't control. But to understand that God is consistent, that he's consistently perfect in all of his ways. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not like man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. And hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he not, he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, God will back up all of his promises. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall last forever. If God said it, he's going to do it. And he's bound by his own word. Yeah, we as people, we're fickle. All of us are. This is what Isaiah says, Isaiah 55. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You sitting here trying to figure it out and think about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. God has already got it figured out. All you need to do is trust. And listen, let me ask you this question. Aren't you getting tired of getting beat up by the devil? Aren't you getting tired of him coming in and wreaking havoc in your families? And you've got this big old awesome God that's waiting on you to just trust him in your circumstance, in your situation. We got a great resource that we very seldom tap into, and it's Almighty God. He's able to fix every circumstance, every situation. And listen here, even if he don't take it out the way, God will give you everything you need to get through the situation. Been there before. I've been there. Have you ever been to a place where you just didn't see no way out? There was trouble on every side. You see no way out, but God, if you just steady yourself and trust God, he'll navigate you out of your situation. Yeah, there may be some bumps, some bruises, there may be some broken bones, but yet you will make it. God will allow you to make it. Why? Because he's the same God. When your situation changes, God still remains the same. He's still the same loving and caring God that he has always been. He's the same God that fixed the last problem that you was into. Why not trust him with this problem? He's the same God. Listen here, understand this, that God's love for you can never diminish. God can never love any more than he already loves. Why? Because God is love. It's not just something that God does. He is love. And he's concerned about you. God's concerned about you. He's concerned about everything that takes place in your life. Everything that happens in your life, God is concerned about it. Even things that you think are insignificant, God is still concerned about you. He's mindful of you. He's standing waiting on you to activate it by your faith, by your trust in him. This is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get them to understand, that you got a far better situation in Christ Jesus. Why you keep trying to go back to something that did not give you any guarantees? This gives you a guarantee in Christ Jesus. And much in the same way, why do we keep trying to go back to the old things? Old slick ways of getting out of stuff. If we just trust God, if we just stand firm on the word of God. No one ever promised us an easy road. No one, Jesus never told us it would be easy. But what he did tell us that we could depend upon him, that we could trust him. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can stand on that. You can as Deacon Cottrell said, you can take that to the bank. You can take that to the bank. God cannot change. Because if God could change, what would he change to? He's already God. What else could he change to? He's already everything. He's already Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What could he change to? No, all we can do is accept him for who he is. Trust him, believe him for who he is. Listen here. Psalms 33 puts it like this. Says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart, listen here, are to all generations. That includes us. The thoughts of his heart are to all generations. God is always thinking about us. We're always on his mind and on his heart. Psalms 41 and 13 says, blessed be the Lord our God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen. There's no end. Everlasting to everlasting is no end. He has no end. Psalms 90 and verse 1 and 2, it says, the Lord hath been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were formed, brought forth. And ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Listen, thou art God. He's always been God. He will always be God. He can never stop being who he is. We just have to trust him. God is immutable. He does not change. He remains the same. Number one, because like I said, what would he change to? He's just immutable because of his omniscience. He knows everything. And anytime we change as human beings, usually we change because we've acquired some more information that causes us to change. Well, God can't acquire any more information than he already has. He already knows how you're going to respond to him. He already knows what you're going to say. He already knows your next step. God already knows. He cannot change because he's all powerful, omnipotent. He has the authority. He holds the universe in the palm of his hand. And none of it escapes. He's God. I tell you, he has the power. He has the authority. He does not change. There's another verse that James Cleveland penned in this song, Everything Must Change. And it goes, the young become the old, with mysteries to unfold. Because that's the way of life. Nothing goes unchanged. He goes on to say, there are not many things in life you can be sure of, except Christ lights up my life. Because Jesus paid the price. I sure do love the Lord. So in the midst of our changing, we need to understand that Jesus paid the price for the change. He paid the price to be the one who went to Calvary's cross. And he voluntarily laid out his hands, took a nail in each hand. After being beat and scourged by the cat and nine tails, he laid there willingly and stretched out his hands and said, because of you, because I love you so much. He took every nail. They riveted his feet. Put a crown of thorns on the head, hung him between two thieves. He died upon that cross for the sins of humanity. He died for you simply because he loves you and he does not change. This was all planned from the beginning of time, that he would die for your sins, that he would die for my sins. prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. And Jesus made good on every promise that he made. So therefore, he knew that he must die. He suffered, bled, and died for us. Hung his head and died. Gave up the ghost. They took him down, put him in a bald man's tomb. Stayed there Friday, all day Saturday night, but early on Sunday morning, the record declared he paid the price by raising from the dead with all power and authority in his hands. And he did it for you. He proved that he had the victory over death. Death could not hold him. And just like he rose from the dead, one day I'm going to rise as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection power, for your living power. He sits at the right hand side of God, making intercession for us. He's still pleading our case. He's still telling the Father all about it, how he died for our sins. Every time we sin, Jesus said, I paid for it with my blood. I paid for it at Calvary's cross. I gave it my all. Gave up everything. He's making sense. But guess what? He's coming back again too. I'm waiting. I'm sitting in great anticipation, waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. Because he's coming back again. He made us the promise that he would come back. He would rapture his church. And that we would be forevermore with him. I tell you, he's the same God. Even in the midst of a changing world, he is the same God. And he's waiting on us to respond, to trust him. If you're not standing, please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.